Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakraborty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks.
On Tuesday, the penalty phase begins in the trial of convicted marathon bomber Jahar Tsarnaev. So we're going to hear now about the lasting moral weight jurors in major terrorism cases carry with them. Federal death penalty cases are exceedingly rare. Since 1993, prosecutors have sought the death penalty 14 times in federal terrorism cases. But jurors have handed down the sentence just once.
And good morning, everyone. I'm Matt Lauer in New York, and we do have a special report from NBC News. There has been a massive explosion at a federal building in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. It happened just a short time ago. A large portion of that building has collapsed and fallen away from the rest of the building.
On April 19th, 1995, 26-year-old Timothy McVeigh parked a rented Ryder truck in front of the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building in downtown Oklahoma City. It was packed with 5,000 pounds of homemade explosives. Just after 9 a.m., the truck exploded. 168 people died. Timothy McVeigh was tried in 1997. Proceedings were moved from Oklahoma to Denver, Colorado. There, Mike Leeper was named juror number 5.
Did being a member of that jury change you in any way?
Well, according to my spouse, it did.
Leeper laughs, but sadly. A Vietnam veteran, he's a man who holds sacrosanct the request to serve. He was 47 when he was called to jury duty in 1997. He heard testimony from 168 witnesses, including from an army captain who had been thrown 12 feet in the air by the explosion and then through a wall, and a credit union CEO who had testified that only half her employees survived the explosion, and that, quote, everything else was gone.
When you were in the jury room for the McVeigh trial, was it ever hard for you to hear all the things that you had to hear?
Every day. I've been through war. I really don't want to talk about it. And I didn't think I'd ever have to be exposed to the things that I was exposed to in that courtroom. And I hope I never have to go through that again, and I feel really sad for those people in Boston that are having to go through something similar.
After 22 days of testimony, the McVeigh jury began its deliberations.
Can you tell me more about that? I mean, when the 12 of you first went into the jury room, like literally first walked in there, what's the first thing that happened?
Well, at that time, we were finally left alone without a marshal, a courtroom person, anything like that. So we were actually able to kind of meet and greet, which we hadn't really been able to do prior to that. Needed to get to know our fellow jury members. Just a relief of the fact that you were now able to visit. So we worked through that fairly quickly and then got on to the how are we going to do this, how are we going to conduct ourselves.
They went through each of the 11 counts McVeigh faced, from murder to conspiracy to using a weapon of mass destruction. It took them 23 hours over 4 days. On June 2nd, 1997, they reached their unanimous verdict.
As you returned to the courtroom, do you remember if you looked McVeigh in the eye as you took your seat again?
Mr. McVeigh made eye contact with certain jurors on a daily basis. However, he did not make eye contact with me.
Did you want to look at him?
Oh, I looked at him daily as to whether there was an emotion involved, a reaction to testimonies, a reaction to arguments presented by both sides. So you would look for any kind of reaction. Never saw any.
So how did you judge Timothy McVeigh himself? I mean, obviously there's the guilty verdict, but how did you judge him?
Came to the conclusion that it was very unforgivable and that his thought process and his actions ended up being against people that really weren't targeted, be it the daycare, the Social Security, the innocent people of Oklahoma City.
And it's here that observers point to further similarities between the McVeigh and Tsarnaev cases. Both young men, both objecting to the actions of the U.S. government. McVeigh had been outraged by the botched FBI raid on the Branch Davidian compound in Waco, Texas. Tsarnaev scrawled inside the Watertown boat, quote, "The U.S. government is killing our innocent civilians. We Muslims are one body. You hurt one, you hurt us all." And both resorted to violence that killed and injured innocent bystanders. After reaching their verdict, Mike Leeper and the McVeigh jury were tasked with the difficult decision facing the Tsarnaev jury now, to weigh the defendant's life in their hands. Then you had 6 days, I believe, of testimony that you heard in the penalty phase of the trial. Are there any particular moments in that testimony that stand out to you?
No. It's the same as the trial. We had to listen to a lot of graphic stories by survivors, family members.
Sharon Coyne talked about the agony she felt after having to give up the search for her 14-month-old daughter. "I could picture her just saying, 'Mama,'" Coyne said. "I felt so guilty leaving this place." The jurors also heard from another parent, Timothy McVeigh's mother, Mildred Fraser, who wept as she said, "Yes, I am pleading for my son. He is a human being, just as we all are. You must make this very difficult decision on my son's life or death, and I hope and pray that God helps you make the right one." Mike Leeper says, as painful as it was, he and his fellow jurors did their best to stay focused.
We were just, you know, dealing with Mr. McVeigh and trying to figure out, you know, the reasons, the whys, the what would make a person do that.
And then you go back into the jury room because you had to make the decision about what punishment to give to McVeigh. How did the 12 of you start that discussion?
Well, that's very difficult. I think it, you know, look at our options. Look at it, what we were asked to decide. And, you know, as a group, would we feel comfortable whatever decision we reached?
Why did the group feel like that was something important to talk about?
I mean, here were a wide variety of just citizens. And having to make probably one of the most difficult decisions you have to make in your life.
Right.
But if you believe in the system and you realize that, you know, God forbid you're in the chair and have asking somebody else to make a decision regarding your actions, are you really being treated fairly and taken seriously and for those things that you've done?
you and your fellow jurors deliberated for 11 hours about this. So the 12 of you had to make a profound decision. Were there any moments in particular that stood out to you?
You know, I think the things that went on behind closed doors are best left behind closed doors. We were very, you know, in general, I think almost to a person, proud of the way that we conducted ourselves. But the things that happened inside the jury room, I think that's where they should stay.
But I guess I can't help but to wonder, how did you feel when you cast, because it had to be unanimous, how did you feel when you cast your vote for the death penalty?
I was comfortable with my decision, with the evidence and the testimony that was presented to us. And was glad that it was done.
On June 13th, 1997, jurors handed over their decision. Timothy McVeigh deserved the death penalty. But of course, the Leaper says he was glad it was done. Nearly 20 years later, he knows the case was not done with him. Leaper says the media hounded him after the trial. Testimony he heard haunted him.
None of us asked to be there. Goodness, out of 1,000 people polled in the quarter of Colorado, for 22 of us and then 12 of us to be chosen through no faults of our own, but to honor the system that exists and is out there, wanted to hopefully conduct ourselves to where it would establish, at least through our actions, that the system can work and can work perhaps better than most, and that we all should be proud of America.
Mike Leaper returned to this theme again and again in our conversation, that as a juror, his duty was to do his part to show that the system works. But what does it mean that the government's power and power to punish are meted out through the decisions of 12 of its average citizens? Right or wrong, that question lies at the heart of the American criminal justice system. Ironically, Timothy McVeigh himself pointed to the moral implications of that question 2 months after Leaper and his fellow jurors had handed McVeigh the death penalty. On August 14, 1997, in the final formal proceedings of the trial, Judge Richard Mache asked McVeigh if he had a statement for the court. McVeigh had not uttered one word during the entirety of his trial, but on this day, he quoted famed Massachusetts lawyer and Supreme Court Justice Louis Brandeis. In a 1928 dissenting opinion, Brandeis wrote, "Our government is the potent, the omnipresent teacher. For good or for ill, it teaches the whole people by its example." Mike Leaper does not wish to respond to McVeigh's use of Brandeis's words. Instead, Leaper quietly, proudly, stands by the example he and his fellow jurors set, the way they conducted themselves, and how they bore the burden of the decision they were asked to make, regardless of what it cost them in their own lives.
I think, you know, the ongoing attention that is garnered by some of us, you know, it's at what point do you feel that you're just John Q. Public, just another citizen? And I guess it's just never going to go away 20 years later.
Jurors who are currently sitting in the Tsarnaev trial, they're not going to hear this. But I wonder, you know, if a while from now when they can go back, if they ever do want to go back and look at media coverage, you know, if you could speak to them, what advice would you give them?
Be confident in your decision. And I hope you're proud of the fact that you got to serve. And I hope that this life-changing event that you've been asked upon and done, you can live with for the rest of your life.
Did you say earlier that you still don't feel like a regular citizen, or that you have actually been able to return to quote unquote normal life?
I guess I'd ask you to define what normal life is.
That's a good question. I don't know what normal life is.
I mean, you're a public figure. I mean, when people recognize your voice and ask you questions about your job and how you're asked to do some of the things you do, both pleasant and unpleasant, how does that make you feel?
Well, I guess once I understand why the person is asking me whatever they are, I either feel happy about it and happy to help, or a little uncomfortable.
Well, I'm not happy about, there's no joy in the decision that I made. Proud. Confident. And accepting.
Mike Leeper. He was juror number 5 in the trial of Timothy McVeigh. And he spoke with us from the studios of Colorado Public Radio. Mr. Leeper, thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Timothy McVeigh was put to death by lethal injection in Terre Haute, Indiana, on June 11, 2001, the last time a federal terrorism case ended with the death penalty. Testimony in the penalty phase of the trial of Jahar Tsarnaev begins on April 21st.
And stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Anthony Brooks.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.